Hello and welcome to Top Realtors of Atlanta, sponsored by Commercial Capital Limited, the place to go when the banks say no, and the Ty Fair Commercial Group with four locations and growing. I'm your host, Brian Peart, the president of Commercial Capital Limited. We're excited to introduce you to some of Atlanta's top realtors. On every episode, I'll be joined by some of the top realtors in our area to discuss the real estate landscape and the latest news and trends within the industry. This month, we're focusing on commercial real estate, and our guests today are Elliot Kyle with Skyline 7 and Chase Murphy with Skyline 7. Tell us about, as a commercial mortgage broker, I've done multiple deals with you guys over the years, and I see your signs everywhere. So tell us about Skyline 7 real quick.
We've been around. We were based here in Atlanta. We're a third-party service platform for landlords throughout the Southeast. We do leasing, property management, accounting, and investment sales. We currently have a portfolio right around 11 million square feet for landlords. So we're growing. We have, between agents and staff, 36 people in our home office. So we've been growing year over year.
Yeah, we specialize in the Southeast is really our area of expertise. That's pretty much, we represent landlords kind of across the nation, across the world, really.
But their properties are here in the Southeast, right?
Correct. All their properties are in the Southeast, and, they need some form of help. Whether it's leasing, management, or when they're ready to sell, they kind of turn to us.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, we actually just got a new listing in the Carolinas from a coffee plantation owner in Guatemala.
Wow.
So it's interesting.
Wow, that is interesting. So he owned the property up here, and he needed you guys to do it. And you do the accounting and everything. That's awesome. So let's start off with talking about the past. How long did COVID slow down your business, or did it slow down your business? Tell about the effect of that over the last year or so, yes. 2 years.
So COVID, when it first happened, everything kind of came to a screeching halt, probably for about 60 days. People were just trying to figure out what was going to happen, if people were trying to catch a falling knife, or how it was really going to affect the investment world in commercial real estate, with tenants not be open for business. Which, if they can't pay their rent, then how do you pay your mortgage,
right,
et cetera. But back when the PPP loans started and they came out and the system rolled out, it really turned everything around rapidly, because tenants could pay rent and it relieved everything. And I would say by May of 2020, we started to close some deals again, and the market kind of picked back up. And towards the end of 2020, it really just took off, especially in the Southeast as a whole, in Atlanta kind of driving the Southeast, with other areas of the country not being open, and our tenants were open here, they were able to, start supporting themselves and not off of just PPP money. So we saw an influx of buyers kind of come to the area to just really want centers in the Southeast. The Sun Belt kind of came to light at that point in time.
We benefited as well, as the governor, Georgia's one of the first states to open back up for business.
Right.
And that made a huge difference.
Yeah.
Because all of a sudden the tenants could open for business and start making money again, and people could go shopping. But we did see a lot of people moving and investing to the Southeast, especially from New England, New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, coming in from California.
California now.
So they're both moving physically and investing their money in the Southeast.
Yeah, there's actually charts and trends that show that, and we all feel it. This is of anywhere in the America, I think the Southeast is, really where it's at, so it's a great location.
I could probably go one step further than that. It's become a focus of the world. The article I read the other day was mentioning how, Atlanta is now the number one spot for foreign money to be invested right now. And it's now people are moving into the Atlanta market over Austin, Texas, and really the strongholds of New York, Chicago, LA are losing interest of the foreign investors, and their focus has shifted.
Yeah, Metro Atlanta, we benefit from having the world's busiest airport, which is important for obvious reasons, but then also a really educated workforce between Georgia Tech and Emory and Spelman and Morehouse and on. So Microsoft, and we're seeing more and more companies relocating to the Atlanta market because we have an educated workforce. So that helps everybody, including commercial real estate.
even Georgia Tech has really, you know, it's become kind of a tremendous growth for these tech companies. Being based in Midtown, it's, you know, it's a constant graduated class of, you know, very educated.
Computer literate, just yeah, rock stars, really. So I just came from a Port Authority thing, and so that's another thing that we've got going for us is the port here in Savannah and the Georgia ports are they're the only port in America that has bandwidth to continue to grow and handle this supply disruption. So what's happening is with labor issues out in California and everything, the shipping is being redirected here, and so we're actually getting an influx, which is more jobs, more companies are starting to move their stuff. So it was really interesting. It's they've seen a 20% increase in traffic in the last year. He put it into perspective from 1970 to 2020, over 50 years, they handled 4 million TEUs, which is like all the containers or whatever. They've gone up 1 million TEU in 1 year. So, I mean, that's just skyrocketing growth. And then something that I didn't know, that they're building warehouse space, industrial warehouse space in that area. It's doubled in the last year, but the vacancy rate's down to 0.7, which
can't build enough.
They can't build enough, you know. So you sit there and you say, there's all these things that could ruin the market, right? But then there's all this positive, and it's hard to ignore it, especially here in Atlanta.
I mean, and they were talking, this could be some of the growth coming off of Savannah, and even Charleston's port is, you know, the I-85 north of Atlanta running up into South Carolina, becoming kind of the industrial highway. And, you know, I don't know the last time you were on it, but every time you drive up, it just seems like they're building another massive industrial plant.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one example is, you know, the battery plant up in Commerce by SK. You know, that came to the community, and it's, I think by 2023, it's going to be 2,600 jobs in the Commerce area, which is significant for that, you know, that community.
Well, getting back to COVID real quick, one thing that we saw that was a challenge was the lenders. They all hit the pause button. But the benefit is, and then some people had a little trouble paying their mortgage. Some took advantage of the situation. Some realistically did have an issue. But once we got back out of COVID, then everybody, there's some rent abatement, not too much free rent, things like that. But it was probably just 3 months at most. And then it was just lights out. Let's go. We closed one deal, a multi-tenant office building in Chamblee, Georgia. And the challenge we had is the tenants didn't want inspectors walking through their space because back then, you know, you're afraid to touch anything or be around people and things like that. Right. But the lender was able to work around, and then we actually closed the deal. And I was like, wow, that was pretty good.
Yeah.
Who would have thought that, you know?
That's awesome. So.
I would say, you know, not that a couple positives that even came out of COVID is it's kind of made the closing process of the commercial properties a little smoother. Being able to do a little bit more on the electronic signature side and, you know, more mail away closings or, you know, become more comfortable. So I would say it's, you know, it's also kind of benefited in that way, as well as, you know, these tenants that are in, you know, kind of the suburb markets with more people working from home, they're just, you know, they seem to be thriving. You know, when you start getting into suburbs, because they have more of a daytime population than they've ever had.
Yeah, that's awesome. So now you guys do sales and leasing. About what percentage is what?
Well, you know, we have different divisions. We have a dedicated leasing team, and then we have a dedicated property management team, and then we have our investment sales team. So we personally don't do leasing or property management. We focus, we try to specialize. Mm-hmm. So if we have a listing, say a Publix Anchor Shopping Center, it'll have a specific leasing agent on it, mm-hmm. specific property manager, and then hopefully when they decide to sell, us.
Right. Okay. So why did you guys decide to go into investment sales versus leasing or property management?
Yeah, so prior to Skyline 7, I came out of the asset management world out of the last downturn, and really just, you know, I connected over with Elliot and Kenny, the president of Skyline, and, you know, we talked for months, and it just seemed to be the right fit. It lets me bring my financial background kind of into the world of real estate, and, you know, looking at P&Ls and analyzing deals and rent rolls is kind of what attracted me into the investment sales world. And that's, you know, kind of just hit the ground running and haven't looked back and enjoyed every minute of it.
Yeah, in my background, I'm on my third career, but I came out of a software design background, supply chain execution software, where you have a start and a finish and you have to figure out everything in between. So an investment sales, only a small portion is sales. It's really a management. Just because you get the owner contract doesn't mean it's going to close. So there's a number of things that have to happen in order. And you have to control the attorneys, the lender, the inspector, you know, a number of things, and keep it on track with the timelines. I had the opportunity to do some management and leasing during the downturn due to a special servicer that thought that's what I did. I didn't want to tell him no.
Right.
But I realized that I prefer investment sales.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's changed since you got into the business? This one's for Elliot there. Like, say, from 2008 recession or...
So I got in the business in 2006. It was just go, go, go. It was great. It's like everything was selling. Oh, my gosh. You know, you couldn't find inventory. And buyers are, I'm out there trying to find off-market deals. And it was going really good. And then this thing happened in 2008. And somebody just turned off the water spigot, so to speak. And after a while, it's like, yeah, this isn't really funny anymore.
Right.
You know, we need to get back. But I pivoted, and I started to use software called TREP, I believe it is, and where you could actually look at CMBS debt and see who's in default and things like that. So we just completely changed our focus and started working with special servicers and workout and note buyers and things like that. So that was an interesting time. That's pretty much had to relearn the business, so to speak, and the servicers didn't know who we were, so we had to kind of start from scratch and go fly down to Miami and fly here and fly there. But it worked out well. And then we came out of that, and then it was kind of soft for a while. And then I guess what was interesting with COVID is we had the oh no's because, you know, everybody's saying retail's dead, malls are dead.
Well, yeah.
No, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God. Nobody's ever going to go to a restaurant again.
Right.
Things like that. Came out of that, and last year was our best year ever.
Yeah.
And then this year's on track to do even more. So it's kind of interesting. It's just the cycles you go through. But fortunately, I know like 2008, that took a long time to get out of that.
Yeah.
It's COVID. Hopefully, we're done with it, you know.
I felt that myself during that time. It was crazy. So,
and even coming out of the 08, from my perspective, I was on the servicing side. And you could just see even through, you know, 2011, 12, we were just removing. We didn't even call them properties or real estate. We just called them files because, you know, we were getting 50 to 60. I was getting 50 to 60 properties off the books for, you name the lender out there. They were, you know, trying to take 50 cents, 20 cents on the dollar for their, you know, their loan. And, you know, you kind of saw it starting to go, and I knew it was time to kind of transition for myself. Fortunately, linked up with Elliot at the time, and you know, it kind of just smooth transition over and got to kind of continue using, I guess, my asset management skills into the commercial, you know, investment broker side.
So let's talk about that for a second, because you know, 2008 hit and it was just out of bam, you know,
stock market, everything.
Lehman goes out of business completely after 80 years or whatever. Can something like that happen again? And if it does, what's different about this time than that time, in your opinion? And no one's got the crystal ball. No one's even the chairman of the Fed doesn't know everything. So let's just put our crystal ball hat on. What do you think about that?
Obviously, not being able to predict the future. I'm still seeing pretty strict guidelines from lenders right now.
It's true.
You know, they're not, a lot of these investors into these properties, they still have a lot of equity, you know, built in day one.
Right.
You know, I think there'd be a pullback in the future? Yes, stuff runs in cycles. But, you know, I can't foresee it, anything like an 08 on the horizon until... You know, we're having limited inventory, and you know, there's a lot of buyers, and I just kind of think of, you know, good clients that are on the sidelines right now just waiting for a little dip, and they just, you know, they have a bunch of powder dry and they're ready to move. So I think any type of, you know, dip, it's just going to see an even bigger influx of these value add buyers right now.
Yeah. If you talk to stockbrokers, they're saying that, they being some, are saying we are heading towards recession into a bear market, you know, based on different indexes. But as Chase was saying, it's crazy amount of buyers out there are looking for opportunistic opportunities.
Yeah.
It's nuts. There's so much powder dry just waiting on the sidelines. The problem we're running into now is there's not enough inventory. There hasn't really been too much ground-up development in the last 5 or 10 years of multi-tenant retail. Everything's leased up. The market's too good. People are like going, I don't want to buy something fully leased. I need some upside. Yeah. Things like that. So it's like good news, bad news.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you from a lender standpoint, there's more money. Lenders have more money available right now to put into deals than ever before. And, you know, some of those big boys like BlackRock and stuff, they're raising billions a month, you know, and they have to. If there's a pullback like we had in 08, you were talking about how long it took for the workout. It's possible that a lot of that money swoops in and there doesn't need to be a workout because they're just going to gobble up cheap stuff, you know?
I think that the PPP loans prevented in 08, you know, just being, you know, COVID was a lot longer than people originally thought.
Yeah.
And I just think about, you know, if the PPP loans didn't happen and tenants weren't able to pay rent, you know, all the way from retail, office, industrial, payrolls, you know, et cetera, I think it would all, you know, been a very interesting, we'd be in an interesting time right now.
And what happened too was, well, it's all the more sophisticated landlords planned ahead. And they said, okay, we'll abate your rent for 3 months. You'll pay us back over 3 years, you know, just an extra pop. Where some are like, started going after the tenants saying, you got to pay me rent. That didn't work out as well.
No.
So the ones that kind of understood the situation, it worked out well for them.
It's an interesting market. So where do you see the market going right now? What are you seeing on your listings, your own listings that you guys have? What's your pulse on it?
So I think as, you know, interest rates seem to be, or they are bumping up currently, I think that will eventually, you know, help some of these cap rates kind of come back. There's always seems to be that spread when interest rates are low, cap rates are low, and vice versa. I think that's going to kind of balance itself out. You know, it's got to catch up. But I also think that with inflation, until that gets under control, with the stock market kind of all over the place, one great hedge against inflation is hard assets. Mm-hmm. And I think that's got even more people focused on real estate as a whole. So we're seeing on our listings, we're seeing bidding wars, people putting non-refundable earnest money at contract to win deals. And it's just, you know, it's competition driven because of, you know, there's more buyers than inventory right now.
Yeah, it's a basic supply and demand situation right now. But I think it's going to flatten out a little bit. I'm kind of seeing things get a little bit quieter. You know, it's not a guarantee. You take a deal out and then have to deal, you know, do a call for offers and highest and best and things like that. Where now it's more like, okay, this is a pretty good buyer. We should go with him. Things like that. So
it's kind of starting to come back to normalcy a little bit.
You've seen too. Some of these cap rates are near ridiculous.
Ridiculous.
You're asking for them.
I will tell you, there. I don't know how. Yeah, I was at a multifamily you know, everyone sells their position, right? So I'm at this multifamily, Marcus and Millichap multifamily conference, and they're...
Never heard of them.
Their guys are up there talking about, you know, a lot of these construction projects, first off, they're all Class A. You don't build Class B or C, right? So it's all Class A. And they're all coming out of the ground, and their exit strategies are assuming 3 caps a lot of times. And, you know, they acknowledged that inflation could be a problem for the cap rates, but they countered that with, well, they'll keep raising rents because, you know, inflation will allow them to keep raising rents. I just think that's short-sighted, you know, because you can't just keep always raising rent. At some point, especially with inflation, that's the person can't afford it. $4,000 for a 2-bedroom is just, you might as well buy a house.
Right.
You know.
And I think it, I mean, it can go out of multifamily there. I mean, the stuff that's the new construction, you know, shopping centers that are being built, you know, you look at some of these rent numbers and, you know, long term, it's kind of got, you know, it's a twofold situation. Either rent's got to come down or what they're selling's got to go up in price. And, you know, with everything kind of in today's world going up in price, you know, eventually that's going to catch up kind of with the U.S. consumer.
So you guys do, most of the deals I've seen from you have been retail type deals. Is that your main... Like
probably
bread and butter?
About 89%. Otherwise, it'd be office.
Okay, so retail and office.
We kind of like to be specialist.
Yeah,
we think that's the best for our clients. not try to be one, you know, one person doing it all and here and there. And we also call ourselves farmers as opposed to hunters. So we try to build relationships.
Okay. It takes time. Say, describe that. What do you mean by farmers and hunters?
You got to build a relationship. It's a business. Like I said, we're not salesmen. We're advisors. Mm-hmm. So, and people don't want to do business with somebody, a voice on the phone. So you got to have relationships with folks.
Right.
And it takes time.
It does. What do you think is a likely result? You know, we talked about inflation. Inflation is generally good for real estate. It really is. You know, in the 70s, the last time we had inflation quite like this, you know, home prices doubled over the course of the decade. Stocks were flat over the course of the decade. So it's really a good hedge, you know, against inflation, I think.
Yeah, and investors usually either they own stocks and bonds or commercial real estate. There's not a lot of crossover. Mm-hmm. So in the stock market's volatility, it actually helps the commercial side of things.
Yeah.
Because it's where you're going to put your money.
Right.
You're looking for that return.
And you kind of get an influx of kind of first time buyers that are kind of pulling money together or just getting their feet wet and with commercial real estate. And it seems like once they get going, it starts with one deal and it quickly turns to five, and you know they kind of get everything under their belt and they start expanding. Might start in Atlanta and then they'll start going, you know, Birmingham, Greenville. They'll start kind of looking in these submarkets too to keep growing their portfolio.
Yeah, I see a lot of that 2, 3, 4 guys, you know, pooling their money and buying. Mm-hmm. Buying a deal, yeah. Elliot, how's 22 going for investment sales, and what do you see in the near future?
Like I said earlier, our strongest year ever, I would say, 15 years into the business. I believe we're going to slow down.
Yeah.
We're not trying to slow down. We're doing our best to keep everything running, getting as much inventory as we can, things like that, but it's just kind of have the feeling that with the interest rates coming up, and it's just there's not much volatility in the market. In the sense of like agitation, it's like, okay, we're kind of flattening out a little bit. We're hearing back the folks who are saying, I'd like to sell my property, but I'm not seeing anything better that I want to buy.
Right.
So I don't want to sell my property until I can see. So it's an infinite loop kind of. It's like if people would put more inventory on the market, then there'd be more to buy.
Okay.
And we're kind of seeing that that's the situation right now.
So the biggest constraint you see is the lack of product to buy, basically.
Yeah, I would say product to buy is hurting the marketplace because, you know, some people or a lot of our clients out there want to capitalize and sell their, you know, property that they might have bought 5 years ago at 70% occupancy, but and they would love to trade up. They just have nowhere to go or they don't want to be in a bidding war on the other side.
Right.
Yeah, we actually lost one listing. We didn't lose it, but we had a listing. Had 8 competing offers, and it scared the seller so much, so they asked us to pull it because they did not want to be on the other side of the table find a replacement property.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they still thank us, you know, it seems like weekly. Thanks for pulling that down. You know, we just.
It's their retirement. They lived off cash flow of one property, and they just couldn't take the risk. What if they didn't have something to buy and had to pay capital gains and
right.
Oh, no. So we understood.
Right. No, that's good. Chase, why do you think Atlanta? It's a good place to invest. We talked a little bit about it, but to the big promo.
Yeah, I mean, I think Atlanta seems to, or doesn't seem, Atlanta's become the capital kind of the Southeast. You know, it seems to have no natural barriers from a growth perspective, so it can kind of grow in all sides. You know, you're not sitting like a Miami where you're right on the water. And relatively, you know, the cost of real estate here is still... You know, when you compare it to a California, a Northeast, or Florida, you know, it's still pretty cheap, which is, you know, being a resident of Atlanta pretty much my whole life, it's kind of crazy to say because we've seen, you know, for us, we think, wow, stuff's really gotten expensive here. But, you know, you see and you talk to people that have moved from the Northeast and then, you know, they're talking about how cheap it is.
Yeah, property taxes. They, like, won't believe us. They're like, it can't be that low. It can't be that low. It's like, no, there it is.
You know, and I think Atlanta's just got, you know, it's got some good, you know, mojo right now. It seems like every time you turn around, there's another company that's moving their headquarters with, you know, high-paying jobs here. And, you know, there's so many great suburbs of Atlanta, mm-hmm. you know, that are starting to kind of get, you know, from a commercial real estate standpoint, they're kind of making their own communities in these suburbs to help, you know, the city kind of grow even further out.
Yeah.
The cost of living's affordable in Atlanta. We have traffic issues, but the cost of living, you buy a nice home and good schools and have a community. And people often want to own real estate, commercial real estate, that they can drive and look at.
Yeah.
So we're, you know, with the supply and demand issue, we've had some of our clients buy in Birmingham and Huntsville, but it's, you know, 2-hour drive. It's not that bad, but they would prefer to be in Metro Atlanta.
Sure.
And I think another thing that's also driving some of these major companies from looking at Atlanta is, you know, the amount of universities that are, you know, within a 5-hour stretch of here.
It's huge.
Is crazy. Mm-hmm. And there's really, you know, I know you have Nashville and Charlotte, you know, they're quickly coming along, Greenville, South Carolina, but you still have, you know, Atlanta's still kind of known as the Mecca.
Oh, yeah.
And, well, I think a good indicator is Microsoft building an 80, 90-acre compound in Atlanta.
Right.
That says something. And it's because educated workforce.
Facebook, too. They,
yeah, Facebook. They, yeah.
Meta, whatever they call them.
Didn't Nike just announce that they're going to open kind of a headquarters, too, here as well?
I believe so.
I think so, yeah. So yeah, I think, you know, it's flow of money, right? So you know, California, New York, their taxes are sky high, their prices are sky high. People are moving out of those places and coming down here. And Atlanta has always been the Mecca of the Southeast, and it's still that, really, you know. You're right, Nashville's hot, you know, Charlotte's hot, but Atlanta's huge. And just,
can you imagine, though, what if we didn't have a state income tax? What would that do?
Yeah, right.
That'd be huge. Because we're between Florida and Tennessee. It's like, if we could do that, it'd be ridiculous, I think.
Yeah, and I think, you know, kind of from the Southeast and the Sun Belt as a whole set up, you know, I think that the future's kind of moved back more towards like a hybrid office model. But the size of house that people can get, they can actually make a home office setup for them in the Sun Belt.
Yeah.
You know, they're not in these, you know, 1,000 square foot houses that are, you know, millions of dollars.
Right. Any final thoughts?
I mean, I would say, you know, if we can help you in any way, you know, reach out to Elliot and myself, and, you know, we're here to kind of, we have a pretty good pulse on what's going on in the marketplace. You know, we think stuff's kind of still looking pretty good and into the future right now.
Yeah. And that's the thing, too. If there is a need, we can give a broker opinion of value for a property. There's no cost.
Okay.
And I always kind of giggle when people say, I want to sell my property, but I don't want to list it. I said, well, why? You know, it's like, we spend all of our money, our marketing dollars. We have a national platform.
Right.
Why would you not? You're going to pay a commission either way.
Let
me spend my money on it.
Right.
Get you top of the market pricing. So.
Right. Yeah, I would think it would be advisable to use a realtor over trying to do it yourself.
No,
this isn't like
what.
A home.
I'll even, you know, say that. I said, if it's not,
it's
us,
not like
use somebody.
A home.
Yeah.
You know?
Use somebody.
Yeah. Yeah.
Knows what they're doing.
That's right. So how's the best way for people to reach you? Go ahead and give all your info.
So the best way kind of to reach us, my direct contact is, my number is 404-812-8925. Or if you want, you can shoot an email. My email is cmurphy@skyline7.com. 7 spelled out.
It's also our website. You can get all our contact there, skyline7.com.
Okay.
And you can see our inventory as well, what we lease, what we're selling, things like that.
Right. Awesome. All right. Well, thanks. Thanks
awesome.
For coming out here, guys.
It. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us on Top Realtors of Atlanta, presented by Commercial Capital and the Ty Fair Commercial Group. We offer new shows on the second and fourth Tuesday of every month, so keep an eye out for those. You can find us on Apple iTunes, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Google Podcasts, or wherever you enjoy your favorite podcasts. You can also enjoy the show anytime by visiting businessradiox.com, selecting the Gwinnett Studio, and then clicking on Top Realtors of Atlanta. Thank you again to all my guests. On behalf of Commercial Capital and Ty Fair Commercial Group, I'm Brian Peart. And this has been Top Realtors of Atlanta on Business Radio X.